Week two and the NFL starts tonight. You got the Dolphins, you got the Bills. Perloff, we're not going to be that kind of show that's declaring anything a must win in week two. We're smarter than that, quite frankly. And we know the audience is smarter than that. However, it doesn't mean that there aren't teams that, some teams more than others, that really could be best served to avoid the 0-2 start. We talked about earlier last hour about the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah. The Bengals are the type of team that have shown they can overcome a slow start. Even back in the day with Bill Belichick and the Patriots of Tom Brady, this was kind of a team that treated September almost like an extended preseason. Right. They'd come out of the month 2-2 or 3-2, and you really can't get too crazy about it because you knew they were building towards something. But there are some teams out there for a variety of reasons that would just be better served to not go 0-2 because we're not sure how this could impact the season. So, but also you want to go first.
It also depends big time on your schedule. Like, what do you have? What's coming up?
Exactly.
You know, maybe in the spirit of what you said, I feel bad about my choice because they can afford to go 0-2 and still make the playoffs. But there feels like there's a lot riding on the New York Jets. They go to Tennessee. They're 4-point favorites. The main issue to me is Tennessee looked like they could run the ball big time in week one. Should have beaten the Bears. Tony Pollard looked great. He looked totally different than
finally
last year.
Healthy.
Yeah, so can the Jets stop the run? Or to me, this is an important game to show that they're not just that they don't have this huge vulnerability that they showed in week one against San Francisco. So that's one aspect. The other thing is Aaron Rodgers showed us he could get through 21 minutes or actually about 18 minutes of football without getting hurt. I still would feel so much more comfortable seeing two games instead of one of Aaron upright and slinging the ball. I still have a little shakiness about his health. Well, I mean, he's still coming off that Achilles. So I think it's a really big game for the Jets to bring it all together.
We haven't seen any mobility really from Rodgers because that wasn't a factor against San Francisco. He didn't run for any first downs. Yep. He didn't have to scramble around. I mean, just a tiny bit out of the pocket, but not really. And, I mean, easy for me to say on my couch, but it didn't look like he took any big hits. It's not like he got popped and de-cleated and then had to get back up. Now,
he barely got touched.
Now, if you do get de-cleated as a quarterback in this day and age, you're getting 15 yards, so I guess that's the silver lining. You'll get a roughing the passer, but he didn't take any big shots.
I don't think he can run. I don't think we're going to see that at all. I mean, he's generally been a scramble to throw guy in his career. I don't think he can move.
Well, every quarterback at some point has to, seize the green grass and has to go. And even if you slide a yard or two ahead of the first down, you don't have to be Brock Purdy, who's like going head first, or Josh Allen, who's going head first. But
I don't think
at
we
some
even
point
get...
he's going to have to do that because it's going to be the correct play.
I don't know. I think we're going to see really minimal Aaron Rodgers running. I know what you're saying. Yeah, he probably will have to do it, but he's going to save it for a big moment. I just can't see him. I don't even care about the run for 8 yards. Is he going to move around the pocket, or is he just going to throw the ball away? They did a great job, actually, against the Niners' front line. Like that old offensive line they brought in with all those old guys worked really well. Who knows if it'll last? I think injuries are the concern there. So, but I need to see him on the field for like a full game.
Yeah, but Rodgers hates to throw picks, so he's not just going to throw something wild up there to avoid a sack or something.
Well, he might throw it out of bounds.
He could, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't see him moving around. I'm not sure that part's going to come back to his game.
You know, we watched, I rewatched the interview he did with Alex Smith before the season started. Alex Smith is going to be joining us later on in the show, along with Shane Battier, which is kind of cool. The two of them together have a new podcast. But that aside, they were talking about this, what's going to happen when you need to run for a first down and slide? And Rodgers said, this is like the last thing I need to tick off on like the checklist of how I know I'm fully back. That and take a big hit. I'll agree with you on the Jets. They're a team that would likely need to avoid an 0-2 hole.
They do have, by the way, just one caveat. They have an incredibly easy schedule after this. So that kind of goes against what we were saying. Like, it's not necessarily, they're not out of it. Like you started out, we're not dumb enough to think 0-2 means they're out of the playoffs. But this does feel like a lot for them.
Yeah, and also, Will Levis is not Brock Purdy.
Yeah, that's
the
thing, too.
And the offense has some weapons for Tennessee, but if you make Will Levis look good, or if he's making good decisions out there, or he learned from last week or any of that stuff, and the Jets defense looks bad again, then you're going to see some panic set in.
Oh, I'll even take it a step further. If they don't dominate Will Levis and something is wrong with this Jets defense, because last year they would have destroyed that guy.
That is true. The team for me that needs to avoid an 0-2 hole, not because it means they're out of it, but just for a lot of reasons, are the Cleveland Browns. Now, I would never suggest that simply winning a football game should take any of the heat or smoke away from Deshaun Watson and these latest allegations of sexual misconduct. I would never say that. I'm just talking about Deshaun Watson as, let's just take the football side of it. He is embattled right now, right? It looks bad. And you have Jameis there. I don't know if that's like a real thing. I don't think it is that they would actually go to Jameis Winston, but this is in danger of being the worst trade in the history. Like, move over Herschel Walker trade. We now would have the worst trade and contract in the history of the NFL. And Kevin Stefanski, I think, is legitimately on the hot seat, even though he's the reigning coach of the year.
Huh. I actually didn't think of him being on the hot seat. Why would he be on the hot seat?
It's the Browns, man. The Haslams are, there's a reason why this franchise is embattled, or why it's such a loser over the years, is because they have terrible ownership. So
that's true. But I think that,
Mike Vrabel in the building.
How are they going to do better than Kevin Stefanski?
I don't know. It's weird. In the NBA, anytime a coach wins Coach of the Year, it seems like they get fired the next year. I don't know if what it means, but I think the Browns, and then you talk about the schedule, right? So they're at Jacksonville this week, and they're actually underdogs. Then you get the Giants and the Raiders and the Commanders. But this schedule after week five is not easy. Philly, at Philly. Cincinnati, Baltimore, the Chargers. Let's see what they look like after a couple weeks of Jim Harbaugh in the building. You're going to have to play, of course, your division rivals. You end the season going Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Miami, Baltimore. You can't afford an 0-2 hole if you are trying to make the playoffs as the Browns.
What about the injuries, though? Like, Njoku's out. Jedrick Wills hasn't practiced yet. Like, aren't they going to be healthier at the end of the season than they are now? That's the one caveat with the Browns, where even Stefanski, if he starts to get heat on him, you can say, well, we're all hurt.
Yeah, you get your tackles back maybe just in time to play T.J. Watt a couple times. Like, he makes guys who are fully healthy look bad.
It's a big difference, though. I mean, they really were terrible last. So I was just reading, they got Conklin will come back this week. Jedrick Wills might come back this week still. And also, this is not an excuse again, but maybe Deshaun Watson will get healthier and more comfortable. The dude is super rusty because he hasn't played since 2020.
Well, and the fact that he didn't play in the preseason because he already had shoulder soreness, should have been a major red flag, which is funny because we talked to his like personal quarterback guru and friend of yours, Perloff, Quincy Avery, who said the way they were clocking the football, he's throwing the ball harder than he ever has.
He was throwing
it. But how long can you keep that up when you have this big shoulder injury?
Unfortunately, he was throwing it hard to nowhere on Sunday. I mean, there was some really embarrassing highlights where he would overthrow guys by 30 yards. Who knows what was going on? He was pressured 44% of his dropbacks. That's a big number. We'll see if the Titans
the Dallas defense is good, but
yeah, I mean, the Titans defense would look really good too. Really, really good. They totally just destroyed Caleb Williams.
Well, and now they're playing Jacksonville this weekend.
Oh, sorry, Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville's
their defense
looked good
pretty
too.
Good.
Yeah, they tortured Tua.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, I had anyway, we'll see. I would hope for Browns fans, even if you do lose this week, that you can say we're going to get healthier and we're going to get better. They did last year. They had that crazy run at the end of the season.
I mean, if you're a Browns fan right now, you've got to just be feeling like, ugh.
It's tough. It's
you
tough.
Didn't ask for this. You didn't ask for the Deshaun Watson. So you trade for a guy and then you give him this big ironclad contract. And like, I think it's everyone's a little like, you know,
hard to root for this dude. They wanted Deshaun Watson. They wanted to keep
Baker Mayfield the way it sounds listening to Sports Talk Radio. Now, you can't really get 100%.
Are you kidding? I'd like to see the reaction when they signed Deshaun Watson and beat out three other teams. I think the Browns fans were excited.
I don't think they're excited now. I really don't. EJ, you want to say something about this?
Yeah, I just feel like when you mentioned Kevin Stefanski, I feel very concerned about his job future, because I think when we talk about why they would maybe move on from him, Pearl, at the end of the day, yes, he won Coach of the Year. Yes, they went to the playoffs. But his job right now, number one job, is to maximize Jimmy Haslam's biggest investment, which is Deshaun Watson. And it's an investment that no other owner or no other franchise has ever made. And in order for that investment to come through, then not only do they have to win, Deshaun Watson has to play extremely well. And it's gone the opposite direction. He's playing worse than he's ever played. Maybe worse than even his rookie year. That's how bad he's been in Cleveland. And I think it would be extremely unfortunate, because at the end of the day, it really should be Andrew Berry and the ownership of the Browns looking themselves in the mirror and saying, hey, why did we pitch our wagon to something that clearly was a mistake? But someone's going to wear the fact that Deshaun Watson has not figured it out under Kevin Stefanski's offense, especially with Kevin Stefanski being an offensive coach. Hmm. And I think that he's going to be one that wears it. It's going to be unfortunate because I think Kevin Stefanski's a hell of a football coach. But for whatever reason, Deshaun Watson has not been able to figure it out in Cleveland. And then there's going to be a fall guy. You're going to go right to the head coach.
We'll see. I mean, that's a good point. I agree with both you guys that this could unfold that way. I think it's more likely we'll see Stefanski with Jameis, too, sooner rather than later, maybe by week three or four. So, and that's going to be an interesting experiment as well. I think he could put up some big numbers. I think I don't think Watson's beyond getting benched here.
See, I don't see that. If he gets hurt, it's one thing. He had enough power with the contract that he has to force them not to bring Joe Flacco back. Now, again, Jameis Winston is an upgrade over Joe Flacco as a backup, but
still, they're about the same, I would say.
Yeah, I mean,
Flacco's probably a little better right now.
He's 10 years older, but I guess if he has enough clout to say, I don't even want this guy behind me because I don't want, it's swirling around. Like, if you're asking me the Browns fan base, how in are they on Deshaun Watson? I think you would have been heard calls for Flacco already. I don't think he's got this strong grip on the great sports fans in Cleveland.
Well, I think the real two important questions. Will they bench Deshaun Watson? I think yes. And also, will they take the cap hit and just let him go? I think they will consider it. I've seen columns saying, you know what, it's $72 million for the next 2 years. They're almost like, $72 million, be damned. Let's move on.
That is a tough one.
Well, I mean, this is, again, one game. Maybe Deshaun Watson, you have no idea. Watching him play, you cannot tell if he's healthy. That sure doesn't look like it to me, because I remember Deshaun Watson in Houston. I forget him
that
as a person.
That guy's gone.
Yeah, but I mean, is he gone because his brain has changed, or is he gone because his arm is hurt or his knee is hurt?
I think both, probably.
Or is it just a bad game because there's two tackles were out and Dallas has a good pass rush? That's also quite possible.
855-212-4227. The team that needs to avoid an 0-2 start. Proloff says the Jets. I say the Cleveland Browns. You're welcome to weigh in. You can also watch the show, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and just starting at Maggie Gray on X. Okay. We're getting to the bottom of this whole Bolero thing. Now, Manny, can we hear the Aaron Rodgers quote again? So this is Rodgers telling everybody to just relax, and he says this analogy, and it kind of, it kind of confused us.
I mean, I think we always got to stay relaxed. It's a long season. I think at times people think the season is like you're out in the prairie or the desert and you're wandering around trying to find water. But it's more like a nice, slow bolero, where we're just swaying with the music and reacting to whatever comes to us and through us, and just trying to not get too high with the highs or too low with the lows.
All right, so I mistakenly thought the bolero meant a car. I thought even swaying to the music. Perloff has said, no, you're an idiot. It's a musical number.
Or I actually thought it might be a dance. I couldn't remember, but it's the music. Because in the back of my head, I was like, there was a movie called Bolero, and I thought it was like a sexy dance kind of movie.
So you are right about that. Well, first, do we have a little of the music, Manny? This is what a bolero sounds like. We'll get to that.
This song is called La Mentira by Alvaro Carrillo, who is a Mexican composer, this song was written back in 1965 and actually has a translation into English as well called Yellow Days.
That's a lot of information on that song there. Maybe.
Yeah.
Who published it?
Alvaro Carrillo.
There you go. Yeah, you could sway to this music. That would fit in context. We're trying to put context clues. This could work for Aaron Rodgers' quote.
Yeah, so I also did not, I was not familiar with this movie that is called Bolero. It's called Bolero, An Adventure in Ecstasy. It's starring Bo Derek. I'm going to be honest. I know Bo Derek mostly from that scene on the beach with
10.
Right, yeah. Okay.
And that's a famous scene, right?
But I have never actually even seen that movie. I just know
Nobody's actually seen that movie, but everyone knows that scene because it's been in every kind of comedy.
I'm going to be honest. I know her mostly from Tommy Boy.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I did not know this movie exists. Holy moly.
Why? Because it's like R-rated or X-rated?
It's got to be more than R. Manny. Oh, we just lost Manny. Manny's going to be gone for the rest of the show. It's set in the 1920s. A young woman sends out to lose her virginity. Her mission leads her to a Moroccan sheik and a Spanish bullfighter. And when I tell you they are leaving nothing to the imagination here. Tommy Boy. This is different. I didn't know that Bo Derek was in this kind of movie.
Oh, Bo Derek wasn't she one of the most famous women alive for a long time?
Oh, yeah, but I didn't know she did anything erotic. I thought she was just a model and like an actress. I didn't realize she was getting fully nude in this movie.
I think she probably got nude in a couple movies.
So this is the movie that Perloff remembered, huh?
Yeah, yeah. No, I remember yeah.
This is George Kennedy also? The same George Kennedy from Naked Gun?
So, by the way, speaking of that genre of movies, the other day I mentioned a movie that I couldn't believe you have not seen.
What's that?
Top Secret with Val Kilmer.
I've never seen it.
And so the guys who did Airplane, they did a war movie called Top Secret, where Val Kilmer is a rock and roll musician / spy. You will love it so much. I can't
even. It's like a spoof?
It's an Airplane kind of movie.
Yeah, no, I should like that.
Yeah, I talked about it last night because my daughter was asking what language she should take in seventh grade. And I said, well, I know a little German. He's standing right over there. And she's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, that's the famous line from Top Secret. You haven't seen Top Secret? And then they cut to a little guy wearing lederhose and waves to them. You will love this movie. It's like Spaceballs, but way better.
Is it a Mel Brooks movie?
No, it's the Zucker Brothers.
Oh,
the same guys
from Airplane.
Airplane and Naked Gun.
That's
they
so
squeeze
funny.
This in right between Airplane and Naked Gun. They did Top Secret, and it's just as good.
It's funny because Val Kilmer, in my mind, is so serious as an actor. You know, Heat, The Doors, all that stuff.
Well, remember he did Weird Science. What's that? Where he's a genius at Caltech. Real Genius.
Weird Science.
No, no. I think this might have been his first major role, and he is... He's not just funny. He's hysterical.
I'm a huge fan. I think it's funny that you asked your own daughter if she's seen some spoof comedy from the 80s. Where else should she have seen it unless you showed it to her?
Yeah, no, I actually didn't say that to her. But
I was going to say, I don't think her and her girlfriends are getting together on a Friday night to be like, what should we watch? The latest Taylor Swift documentary or Top Secret from 1988?
I'm watching Bolero after Thursday Night Football tonight.
Manny's going to watch Bolero 100 times in a row.
In the 80s, you know, the gratuitous... frontal nudity was such a thing.
Yes, it was.
Like, I watched part of Conan the Barbarian the other day.
What?
That was basically a softcore porn.
On your hand?
I actually had to go on YouTube because I was watching the Schwarzenegger doc. And I was curious about that movie. And it was like, basically, I think that the lines between mainstream movies and softcore porn was a lot more fluid back then.
So was John Derek, who wrote and created this, was her husband. Okay. He was married to Bo Derek and Linda Evans and a few other women. Imagine putting your wife in this kind of movie where all of a sudden it's like, she's just out there.
Wait, I mean, you just watch Emma Stone. You just watch Emma Stone and Poor Little Liars or what it's called, Poor Little Things. She's beyond out there. I mean, she makes Bo Derek look like a nun by what?
I don't think
Emma
that's
Stone.
Possible.
Oh, you have not seen this movie yet. You will be shocked at the amount of sex in this movie.
I'm looking at Bolero starring Bo Derek from 1984, and I feel like I'm about to get in trouble with HR. Like, I need to get this off of my computer actually right away.
Yeah, clear that search history immediately, man.
It's a work computer. I don't think they're going to think this conversation, like, this isn't going to hold up under questioning. Like, why were you searching this out? It's like, I don't know. Something about Aaron Rodgers said something.
You would not be able to avoid it because they will see your earlier searches being like Bills tickets and Bills information and then Bolero. They'll be like, I'm pretty sure this is Maggie Gray's computer.
Going to be honest.
More like a nice, slow Bolero.
Maggie's looking for a new car. She's like, well, of course, the Mahindra Bolero. Why is it? Can we dive into that a little bit? She's like, why is the only price I see in rupees?
Rupees.
You're like, well, of course, the Mahindra Bolero. I'm like, the what? The what? You made it sound like it's a Nissan Altima.
Yeah. It's a Toyota Corolla of India. 855-212-4227.
Bolero.
Yeah. Well, now Roger's just making, this is just blatant.
But the guy wanted to host Jeopardy. He's going to pull facts out of everywhere. You know that Aaron Rodgers wants to sound smart. Honestly, I would not read too much into any of these comments.
Manny just fell into his phone looking at the movie Bolero trailer. They put all that stuff in the trailer. That's crazy. 855-212-4227. Coming up, something I did go and watch last night that I did not put on the work computer because I'm smarter than that. Shannon Sharp, as you've never heard him before. Next.
The visual is amazing. I'm sorry I can't share. That's from the movie Top Secret. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Top Secret, I think I'm going to say 85 movie from the guys who did Airplane. It is ridiculous. Val Kilmer, as you've never seen him before, worth watching. I have no idea if it even streams, but it's pretty good.
That's a bad sign. Everything streams.
There's about 800 jokes that could never work now because they're so impolitically correct.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. They explode several cows. There's a lot of good things in there. Okay. Speaking of things that are not serious, is it time? Are we ready to all dive into this Shannon Sharp thing?
Well, I mean, it was hard to ignore yesterday. And believe me, I tried. I really did try. I knew it was out there. And if you're just not living online like we tend to do, it was Shannon Sharp on Instagram Live. He says completely by accident. And you want to know what? I'm agreeing. I believe him. Accidentally, Instagram Live, which is just basically a live broadcast out over social media, somehow got activated as Shannon was activated while he was getting amorous with a woman. And we know her name is Michelle because he said Michelle. So anyway, this
he
goes
said,
on.
That's my Michelle.
Yeah, it's like whatever the Beatles did for the name Michelle, Shannon undid, but making that a very lovely name. But so it goes on and on, and apparently because he went live last night again with clothes on his podcast with Chad Ochocinco, he said all of a sudden his other phones, he's got two phones, started just like blowing up with people FaceTiming him. And one of those people was Deion Sanders, who he said he hadn't spoken to in 8 years. But all of a sudden, Deion is FaceTiming him, people saying, hey, we can hear you. We can hear you. And he's like, hear me doing what? Hear me doing what? That thing. So you can't see anything. Again, like the phone is off. It's like up to the ceiling or something. You don't see anything. You just hear everything. And Shannon was apologizing last night like he leaked the nuclear codes or something. It was very serious apology. I think that he was like maybe worried that this was going to, I mean, it's very embarrassing. I don't think he's going to lose his podcast. I don't think he's going to lose his deal with YouTube. You know, he's built this kind of empire, Shannon Sharp. So he was apologizing so profusely and so seriously. It actually made me go back and watch it and listen to it. So I'm like, did he say something like degrading to her or what?
Bolero.
Yeah, right. That was a bolero. Although I don't know about the slow ascension. Anyway, that's what made me go back and listen to it.
Was he worried that people would think that he did it on purpose and therefore he put this woman in that intimate moment on social media? And that, I mean, because you get in trouble for that.
Or
I don't know if
that's just embarrassing.
Yeah, no, but
he was very apologetic, like he did something wrong. It was an accident, and I actually believe it was an accident. I don't think he needs this kind of publicity.
No, and like Chad Ochocinco was there, like confirming his bad like technology skills,
right,
as if it's completely believable that he did this by accident.
Like he's never done an Instagram Live before. There's just a few things that you would add up. First of all, maybe Shannon Sharp also like deserves the benefit of the doubt. He's never put his private business out in public before. I don't know why he'd start now when he's seemingly crushing it with his pod, crushing it with the YouTube series. Like he's totally won the Skip Bayless versus Shannon thing. Like he's went on to he's on ESPN every Monday. Like he's doing fine. EJ, you think it could be a publicity stunt?
No, but I think when we ask why was he so profusely apologetic, one, I think the fact that, you know, there was an intimate moment and the woman, she obviously did not know she was being filmed as well, audio recorded. So there's that aspect of it. And this guy works for Disney. So, like, there's mm-hmm. that, too. Like, you know, maybe ESPN wouldn't be so, like, quick trigger to fire, though, when Paul Pierce had the strippers at the crib. I mean, they got him out of there, you know, quicker than the New York Minute. So there is some precedent with like the something adjacent to this leading to loss of employment.
The
so that might
though,
have been
EJ
with Shannon, where he's like, "Well, let me clear this up. That I definitely did not do this on purpose."
Paul Pierce definitely knew he was on Instagram Live.
Yeah, no, he did that on purpose.
Mugging for the camera with like these women behind him. It's like, and he's clearly looked intoxicated, and like he made his own bet on that.
But also, Shannon Sharpe is popular and does well. Like the ESPN NBA coverage is famously a train wreck for a long time. Like, they could get rid of Paul Pierce and nobody cared. Shannon Sharpe, I think, has some power there right now. He's pretty popular.
So I'll ask you this question. There were two hot mic incidents that happened yesterday. So the other one was with the Las Vegas Raiders, where they were set up for a press conference, and some reporters got caught in a hot mic talking about Gardner Minshew.
Yeah? Unless Gardner really kicked
I'm not a fan, but I just want them to win, so I guess if you can help them win.
Yeah, so saying that Gardner Minshew is going to get his butt kicked by Baltimore, if you couldn't hear that, is some of the reporters sitting around right before Gardner Minshew is about to go talk in a press conference. What's worse for you professionally? Is it the accidental... You're in your own private time. This is very much accidental on Shannon, or you're at a team's facility there to cover the team, saying that the quarterback's going to get his butt kicked.
Oh, boy! Yeah!
I mean, say Gardner Minshew's going to get his butt kicked by the Ravens. I'm sure that they would say that on a live mic. That's the most uncontroversial statement of all time. Of all the things reporters have gotten caught talking about, how that... That's not a thing, is it? Of course he's going to get his butt kicked by Baltimore. Does anyone not think that?
Well, you wouldn't say it to his face.
You might. I mean, this is one situation like that is... Did they get in trouble? Because that doesn't feel very controversial at all. It feels kind of like a football now.
Well, they don't work for the Raiders.
Yeah.
It's not like the woman in Buffalo who worked for the team who got caught on a hot mic saying that Stephon Diggs was a jerk.
Right.
That's
exactly.
That's different. She works
also,
for the team.
Also, too, like, that is... There's zero controversy in that statement. Like, the Ravens are going to... destroy Gardner Minshew, right? Isn't it to say that Gardner Minshew is going to do well against the Ravens? You might lose your job over that. It sounds weird.
Do you think Shannon's going to get in any trouble? I don't think so.
No, he's not going to get in any trouble. But he also can't do anything with this either. Like, you can't, like, let's just say the audio sounds super flattering to your skill set. He can't walk around now like with his chest out, being like, "See what I can do, ladies." Like, he can't. There's nothing for, like, he's got to apologize, whether he means it or not, and then never talk about it again. Like, there's no
that's
positive
gonna be hard.
To this.
That's not
going to happen.
Well, he can't ever talk about it again. Like, it's going to, like, he obviously, it's going to get thrown in his face. Guys are going to tease him, but like, there's nothing for him to use off of this video. He can't start this conversation ever again.
I mean, I watched some of that nightcap last night. I mean, they're doing like ED, you know, ads in the actual video.
They
like
did.
The most crazy thing is right before he's about to go on, the last ad that plays before the show starts is literally an ED ad, a live read that he does right before the show starts.
He doesn't need that, or that's why it's sounded that way.
Or maybe he's using it.
he said he used it during that. He's I used this.
It's
earlier
a hair
today.
Club for men. It's like he's also a client.
I think he's going to capitalize on this. I don't think this is the last we've heard of him talking about this. I mean, we're not going to have the OnlyFans or anything crazy like that. But he's definitely going to capitalize off this. This was the only thing. I mean, I'm sure, like, you know, all the other news we've had that's happened with Tyreek Hill, all those people are very thankful that Shannon Sharpe happened yesterday, because it seemed to just take everyone away from all the serious stuff, presidential debates, and put us on what the hell was happening with Shannon Sharpe this morning.
So
what was he doing?
He's going to be on my TV during an NFL game doing like wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You heard me. Now take this pill so you can do the same thing.
Well, it didn't sound great. I don't know. Anyway. But whatever, this is another crazy double standard where she can't make a dime off of this. Like, Shannon Sharpe's going to get all this money now from doing all this. He can do 50 ED reads and ads and stuff. She can't make a penny off of this.
God, we don't even know she's... Body part anyone wanted to see.
Is that live? All right, let's get to the headlines.
Oh, yeah, sure. They're sponsored proudly by Prize Picks.
Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code MNP to get $50 instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Can I interest you in some more college realignment? The Pac-2 is reportedly on the verge of adding Boise State, Fresno State, Colorado State, and San Diego State. Those four would be leaving the Mountain West, who said in a statement last night, any departing school would be held to the conference's exit protocols. That's 2 years' notice and an $18 million payment. And Maggie, you were right back in the first hour. Eight's the number to be an official conference, which these two schools now, Washington and Oregon State, they have a 2 year grace period to find buddies to play with after being left behind in the Pac-12.
All right. Well, we've got our marching orders. Let's find out who else should be in the Pac-12.
I'm going to call this mini segment News to Me. I think everybody heard this live or knew about it pretty quickly on Sunday.
More Shannon Sharp?
Not exactly, but kind of. It happened when the Red Zone Channel went to Cleveland, where Dallas kicker Brandon Aubrey was considering a 71-yard field goal. Of course, Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady were on the call.
71?
This is crazy. Yeah.
Well, they got to cover. If it doesn't go in.
This is a 71-yard attempt. And now the Browns will call a timeout.
Maybe everyone's going to rethink this one.
71 yards.
Go to the Jets down. Oh, come on. Brady's got to get more excited than that in the booth.
Okay, so the main part is that last part. That is Red Zone host Scott Hansen. He knew his mic was on, asking for a little more oomph from Brady.
Now, that'd be a shocker if we got Scott Hansen. Anyway.
So I knew that happened. I knew that Hansen, either on his own or because he was told to, apologized to Brady. I didn't know that Brady then wrote back the other day saying, quote, "This rookie appreciates you, Scott Hansen. No apology necessary, my man. Life's too short to not have fun. We're officially on 70-yarder watch, and I'm going to spike my headset when it happens." Who got to Scott Hansen, and how fast did they get to him Sunday after he said that?
You think he was told to apologize to Brady? I think he probably just did it on his own.
I think Scott Hansen's, I agree with Maggie. I think he's aware enough. Scott Hansen's become a big thing lately. And Scott Hansen always goes, well, Josh Allen with a touchdown. You know he loves watching me on Sundays. He is somehow brags about all the quarterbacks watching him on their off days. So I think he cares a lot about that relationship.
But do you think he knew so quickly that, like, I'm not saying that he was, that he's so, I'm saying he's so busy in the moment.
Yeah.
It might have taken, he would have gotten there.
How fast was his apology?
I think it was either after the game, Sunday night or even Monday.
Well, what happened, I think, is everybody was looking for, the media was playing up how bad Brady was. Yeah. They were looking for bad quotes about him to put in their stories.
Right.
Like, someone must have pulled out Hansen.
And I'm just thinking that, like, somebody at the NFL was just quicker to the email than Scott had a chance to even remember what he said about the moment.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because, you know, like, he's in the middle of all happening. This stuff. Like, yeah. He might even have known that he said that.
But it might have been in social, someone might have tweeted him and CC'd him, and he did not want, you don't want to get on the bad side of Brady if you're Scott Hansen.
Right.
My whole thing about this was, I think Scott Hansen does a great job. This is not a disrespect to him, but, like, Brady's got to respond now. It was nice of him to do it, I think, because, you know, Scott seemed very genuine about apologizing, but it's like, this is what happens when you now are broadcasting. Like, you're now in our pool. Like, you don't have to respond to everybody, but you are amongst us now. Like, Brady, I think, enjoys this very elevated status that we give him as, like, the greatest football player. And now you're a rookie just like everyone else has been. And he's gotten criticized. Like, yeah. Think about it. Brady's gotten, again, more praise probably, but Brady's gotten more has gotten criticized more probably in the last 3 months between the roast and that game against the Browns than he has in the last decade.
Yeah, I mean, I think the roast was a good idea for him. It kind of normalized him to set him up for this career.
I don't think. I don't think that he thought it was a
The family
idea.
Part he just definitely regrets.
That's what he says. I'm sure he did not mind jabbing Giselle for cheating on him with the jiu-jitsu instructor. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think the kids got involved too. I think Brady is changing his image to become, like, I think the roast was intentional to say, I'm not this stiff quarterback. I'm like a guy like you. Like, I'm going to be an entertainer.
Yeah, but like, why would we expect Tom Brady? We don't want him to be an everyman. He's one of our heroes. Like, he's a superhero to a lot of people.
Now he's like a super bro. I mean, he's got bro stuff about him. Like, that was more for the Barstool crowd. And I think it worked. And there was... Then he went into the Patriots Hall of Fame and had like half a bar stool in the crowd. Like, I think he's trying to cultivate more, I'm a guy's guy. And by the way, that apology
was
so...
Does he need that? He's the greatest football player ever. He's clearly going to be high on the guy's guy power rankings. He's Tom Brady. He's married a supermodel. Now he's dating all these other famous women. Like, he doesn't need this to be the ultimate guy's guy.
I don't know. I mean, he's a football player. I think... No, I don't think he doesn't want to be the professional avocado ice cream eater guy. I think he wants to be more of the chugging beer Tom Brady. I think he wants to put out the image of I'm just like you. I know that's hard to do.
I don't know if I get that from him.
Let me ask you this. Now, if I insulted somebody in this realm, I'd go, hey, can somebody give me his or her cell phone number? Shoot him a text. Do you think Scott Hansen asks, Can I get a number for Brady to apologize? Someone just goes, just tweet it.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's getting that number.
Just tweet.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. He works for the NFL, so maybe he could get his
number. Oh, Scott could probably get his number.
Yeah, I take that back. Scott,
he's a big deal. Is it a big commercial?
I'm not
this
judging.
Year
These are
Mahomes
not Hanson judgments. These are Brady judgments. Like, the way to get to Brady, like, how hard is it to track down, like, what the right email or cell phone number is?
I think Scott Hansen is a big thing now. What's his commercial? He's in a major, major ad campaign for AT&T or something with Mahomes. So I think he could get Kevin Burkhardt. You don't think Scott Hansen and Kevin Burkhardt are friends? He could just text Kevin and say, hey, can you tell Tom I'm really sorry?
Yeah, I just feel like Brady's cell phone number is probably like the highest regarded secret.
Wow, which
in
cell phone?
Fox circles.
Which cell phone? The one, you know, that could get destroyed at a given moment.
So wait, what's self-destruct.
I love that you brought this up in a music. Like, what's your overall takeaway from this?
I don't need Brady. I don't need this rookie accepts your apology and a tweet.
Yeah.
Like, if Hansen apologizes publicly, then Brady can shoot him a text and go, hey, it's Tom. Like, no, we're all good, man. No worries. Like, I don't need the, it's just, he's trying too hard. It's got a little A-Rod-ish to me. Like, he's just trying too hard.
Oh, that's not fair.
To be cool.
That's not fair. I mean, come on, dude.
I said a little.
One sort of stiff game and you're comparing him to A-Rod.
No, you just gave me three examples. I'm trying to fit in and sound cool with Barstool and the Rose and stuff like that. I don't need all of the Tom Brady, like, redux here post-career.
Yeah, he's trying to cultivate an image or something.
He's coming on a little strong. I'll give you that.
I'm like, you know, he posted a video when Belichick went on Instagram, like, oh, guys, Bill's here now. Everybody's got to watch out what you're doing. Like, I don't need all of this. Just go about your business.
Too late.
That's all. I know.
And by the way, Maggie, when you said that Tom Brady does the same thing, he's in the same pool with us. I don't think so.
He's not, but he kind of is.
I don't know. Even
what pool
kind
of
broadcasters, like, professional broadcasters,
human.
I'm gonna be honest. You and I could have done a better job on that Browns game.
Maybe so, but still, I just don't think
we know the mechanics of broadcasting.
If you walk up to Tom at the Super Bowl week and say, "Hey, Tom, we do the same thing." I'm Maggie,
hey, colleague. Thank you, Bogus. 855-212-4227. Yeah, you, me, what?
I want to compare notes.
I'm the you of Morning Talk Sports Radio.
Got a couple notes for you.
Everyone else did. You might as well.
Just broadcaster to broadcaster, you know. Okay. Coming up, we have some injury news for you. We'll get to that next.
Oh, boy! That stuff is yeah!
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. All right. As a MCL sprain survivor, I'm very, very interested in what's happening with Green Bay Packers quarterback Jordan Love. Don't laugh at me. You know I had an MCL sprain in February. Still hurting. But certain athletes like me and Jordan Love are just built differently and can get back on the field sooner than you think. And it seems like, Maggie, you were saying in the break that it doesn't look good for this week, but it seems like in the short term he will get back.
Well, I got to give you credit because the moment that Jordan Love, it turned out that it was an MCL and not something worse or just a sprained MCL and not something much worse, you said, I bet he plays next week. And right now, you know, Matt LaFleur is not actually saying exactly whether or not he's going to play. I think this is a little bit of gamesmanship. But even if he doesn't play this week, I think it is possible that he's out there next week. So this week they're home for the Colts, and then next week they're on the road at Tennessee, then Minnesota. You know, there are some winnable games here.
Big time.
If you can just get the run game going, and if your defense can really step up and, you know, try to harass Will Levis, try to harass Sam Darnold, it's not, like, inconceivable that the defense could lead the way here.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs definitely got hot at the end of the Eagles game in Brazil, so that's a good point.
However, you know, as our friend Aaron Nagler pointed out, who's a massive Packer fan, does Cheesehead TV, that Saquon Barkley is the offensive player of the week in the NFL. So the Packers defense basically handed a offensive player of the week. That's not a great way to start out, but you know,
that field was super slippery.
It was weird, but
that field was really slippery.
It's not good when the team you play against gets their offensive player of the week. It's not a great sign for your defense, but
well, this is about the injury though. You know, Jordan Love, can that offense survive with Malik Willis, who doesn't look like he can throw from the pocket, just based on what we've seen?
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, except that he can run like crazy. He's had a couple games where he's had big running production. So maybe you play really conservative and come up with something here. But if it's not torn, why? I'm not quite sure why he can't get out there. He had an extra 2 days because it was a Friday night game.
Yeah, you have to do a 10-hour flight in that. It's not like you were going from Minnesota back to Green Bay.
That was still a little while ago. So he does probably 8 hours of PT a day, has every shot known to man thrown, put into that knee, has every painkiller / muscle relaxer. I think if they needed him, if this was a key game, a playoff game, he'd be out there.
Okay, you and I talked earlier, though, about how much the game means for Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals, and you're like, not at all. You know, they can go to Kansas City and lose. It doesn't matter. If I'm the Packers, can I really not afford to go into an 0-2 hole here? And beyond that, do I really want to be doing I need to shoot this up and do everything under the sun to get Jordan Love back as quickly as possible? I mean, this is your franchise guy, $200 million. You're in it for the long haul here with Jordan Love. Like, I would be worried about his mobility if he can't protect himself. And how does that look? Because, like, rushing him back to me doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's an out-of-conference game. No, they absolutely do not need this game. Right. It's an out-of-conference game. It won't affect them if it's a tie.
The next two.
Yeah, this is a time to rest Jordan Love. I totally agree with your point. It's big picture. Then again, we don't know if he's wearing a brace. Is there really a risk to exacerbate the injury?
Is he going to look as athletic, though? I mean, that is a big part of his game.
Yeah, but even a 60% of Jordan Love running that offense is a lot, gives him a much better chance to win.
Manny, can we hear a little from Matt LaFleur, please? This is cut 5 from the Packers coach, sort of leaving the door open.
I'd say it's pretty open.
Is he progressing well?
He's doing a nice job. He's spending a lot of time in the training room. Our guys have done a great job with them, Flea and Nate, and all our athletic trainers, our strength staff.
Yeah, so, you know, he still said there's some hurdles he's got to clear before he can get cleared. But, you know, I think this is gamesmanship for this week. They don't want to show their hand to Indianapolis. But I have to admit, you were right about this. I thought he'd be out for 4 weeks minimum.
Well, the rule with young players is they always come back earlier than you think. Trevor Lawrence was supposed to miss a game last week, and he was not only did he come back that week. Remember
last
Trevor
year,
Lawrence?
Yeah.
Was out and he came back and he was perfectly fine.
Yeah, like, but what did the rest of the season look like? I mean,
he was
hurt and they were bad.
But he was fine. I mean,
one game against New Orleans, but it clearly affected him.
Really? I thought they didn't have trouble moving. I mean, that whole team fell apart. It wasn't Trevor Lawrence. I think that young guys respond really fast. Also, you could do miracles in PT. If you have like a team of pros working on you, you can strengthen that real quick.
Got an NFL what if for you coming up next, 855-212-4227. It's Maggie and Perloff on Infinity Sports Network.